Good morning, family. I'm an act. My name is Michael. Here's the thing. We're going to be here a while, so get comfortable. One promise. There is only one promise Narcotics Anonymous offers, and that is freedom from active addiction. And I'm a living example of that. Next Sunday, not tomorrow, but next Sunday, I will actually have 30 years clean in Narcotics Anonymous. And because I'm not very humble this morning, I'm actually kind of proud of that. I think that's kind of cool. 30 years. I'm not where I thought I would be at 30 years, but I'm in an okay place. I had a hell of a time getting a day clean. It took me 10 years in and out of here. Many of you here I know, so you've heard these stories before, but it's the same old story. I tried to get clean the first time, 1978. So I'm a child of the 60s. I'm an adult of the 60s. So I'm from the peace and love generation. You know what we did. Also known as the sex, drugs, and rock and roll generation. And you know what we did. So life was one big party until it wasn't one big party. And in 1978, I went into my first treatment facility to get clean. Got clean. Came out. But at that time, which is now 40 years ago, in treatment facilities, there wasn't a lot of Narcotics Anonymous awareness. So it was the other fellowship that brought meetings into the facility, that kind of thing, and everything was kind of centered, or recovery was centered around the other fellowship. So when I got out of that treatment facility, then I became a member of the other fellowship. And I remember celebrating a year clean. I was very proud of myself. And it wasn't until later I realized I never was clean that year because I didn't drink that whole year because I'm in the other fellowship and that's a no-no. But I did other things rather occasionally. Things that I liked a whole lot better than I did like drinking anyways. So it turns out I was never clean for that year even though I thought I was. And this led to a series of me coming into the rooms, being clean for a week or a month or 40 days and going back out and coming back in until I wind up in a second treatment facility in 1986. Same thing, came out, went to meetings, stayed clean for a month or... I never could get 90 days. That always seemed a big hurdle to me. I'd get to day 89, I'm good till day 89. And then something always happens on day 89. I'm not sure what. My disease kicks in and I use. That's what happens. So this goes on again for another couple of years. Now, mind you, I'd be at meetings. I'd not be at meetings. I'd use. I'd not use. This week I'm clean. Next week I'm not. That kind of crazy stuff. In and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. Until 1988, third treatment facility. And I don't know why, except higher power decided it's time. And I was able to just surrender to the disease of addiction and finally got serious about being clean in Narcotics Anonymous. So, April 22nd, 1988, done. Finally get clean, stay clean. But staying clean was very difficult for me because I knew better. In fact, I know better on a lot of things. But I surely know better on this. But the evidence was, and I wasn't really looking at it at the time, the evidence was I didn't know better because every time I tried to be in control of it or work it out myself, I always wind up using. I could never quite stay clean. So I really had to surrender and say, okay, I'll do it your way. I got nothing else to lose. Might as well do it your way. My way doesn't work. I begrudgingly admit it. So I started doing what you told me to do. don't pick up every day, go to a meeting every day, get involved in service, get a sponsor, work the steps, learn to pray, get a relationship with the higher power, all those things. And some were a lot easier than others. And step work back in the day was a little more difficult because we didn't have the step working guide back then. I love the step working guide, but we didn't have one then. There was a little pamphlet for the fourth step, but otherwise, no. So I'd grind my way through the step work, and I do mean grind my way through. Not liking it at all. Liking it after it was done is the best I can say about it. But I did notice that slowly I was a little bit of a different person than I was last week or last month or 6 months ago. I mean, I saw me being different. And the real difference was I was becoming less afraid to live in the world. Now, I never liked living in the world. That to me was not a cool place. It was a frightening place. It was a scary place. I didn't like it at all. I didn't drive until I was in my 30s because I was afraid to go to the gas station and have to deal with the people at the gas station. They scared the hell out of me. So I thought, well, I just won't drive, and that way I never have to stop and get gas. Back in the day, you didn't pump your own gas. They paid people to come out and pump your gas, so you just had to interact. I thought, well, this won't work for me. So I didn't drive. So I noticed I'm becoming less afraid to live in the world. I wasn't using. That's kind of a miracle. Kept doing the step work, got involved in service at every level. Even chaired the DC area twice. I didn't learn the first time around, but I'll go for a second term here because, you know, I'm crazy like that. And then, without me even really thinking about it or striving towards it, cool things were happening to me. I never lost a job using, only by, you know, a miracle. And a couple of times that I went to treatment, I actually went to my HR office and said, I think I need to do this. Oh, you know, of course. So they're very helpful to get me through and get me clean. But then I started getting promoted, and I climbed my way up from literally the mailroom to the boardroom. Let that settle in a minute. From the mailroom to the boardroom. In fact, I was the CEO. From the mailroom to the CEO. I was some hot shit then. I thought I was. You know what I mean? I thought, this is just it. What the hell? This is cool. So now I'm clean, number of years, loaded with dollars. Could do whatever the hell I wanted. I did not use. And I didn't really sling my money around, although I spent it in ways that if you were observant enough, you would know. If you weren't, you wouldn't know. But I was not a flashy, in-your-face man with his money. That was not my style. One day, it occurred to me, I had a very lovely home in the district, D.C. Lovely home. But I thought, you know, I need more. I really do just need more. This is not enough. So when I was, what's 2002 minus 1988? Anybody know? Anybody good at math? 88, 98. How many? 14 years? 12 years? 13 years? Somewhere around there, 12, 13, 14 years clean, I decided I needed more, so I bought a large estate in Frederick, Maryland. Old house built in the 1930s. Big property. Beautiful place. And I thought, this is an appropriate executive estate. You know what I mean? This is where I should be. So I pack up my bags to the horror of all my friends in the city. because I'm a city boy. What the hell am I doing moving to the country? But anyways, behind me is a dairy farm. Across in front of me is a horse farm. So we're in the country. But off I go to the new executive estate that is appropriate for me. Now, the house was nice and the land was fabulous. And I did have a good time there, but I did hate the commute. Without the job, I can't support the estate in the country, so, you know, I had to make that drive up 270 every day. Hated that. And one day, I decided to quit my job and buy a restaurant in Frederick. This is what I need now. This will fix it. You know that it part we can't fix it. It fix it. Well, this will do it. I'll be a restaurant owner. Life is good. My commute's just a half a block, basically. 20 blocks. And life will be good. So I quit my job appropriately. I give them plenty of notice. In fact, it took 9 months for them to find a replacement for me, and I stayed there until the 9 months was up and the new guy came on. And now I'm owning a restaurant in Frederick. And I liked it. Those first few days going to work, I was exhilarated and thrilled to actually wake up and go to work. I could hardly wait to get up and go to work. That's a novel thing there. But I couldn't make a dime in the restaurant business. Of course, I knew nothing about the restaurant business. Why would I even be in the restaurant business? Because, you know, I'm crazy. Still. Although clean for some time at that point, still crazy. Okay. Now, this goes on for a while, and I'm steady losing money, day in, day out, day in, day out. So I'm living on my own money. I'm paying staff for my own money. I'm paying restaurant bills with my own money. I'm paying my own bills with my own money. I'm spending money. And eventually, I run out. Fortunately, I did find someone to buy the restaurant. Not nearly for what the kind of money I thought I'd get, but enough to save myself, sort of. When all was said and done, I had $17. That's it. Oh, yeah. The day before I bought the restaurant, I was worth $1.2 million. The day after I sold the restaurant, I had $17. That doesn't even pay for two packs of cigarettes, and I smoke. Well, I cried and threw up right on the street corner. I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. There was a silver lining. Now, of course, I had to scale back from my lavish lifestyle to $17, which was not easy. Some would say I still haven't quite achieved that, but I do my best. What happened was, here's the true blessing. One promise, many gifts. So there were lots of gifts on the outside. Big money, cars, houses, friends, relationships with families kind of restored. I never wanted them fully restored, but I worked. Kind of restored was okay for me. But being absolutely broke, $17 broke, $17 total. You know, you buy a candy bar, you got $15 now. I mean, you know, tick, tick, tick. And I felt very lost, a little bit afraid. I didn't feel alone, because you're always here with me. But I did feel lost and a little bit afraid. And even though I had been one of those people that spouted off, you know, be sure to develop your relationship with your higher power, it's an inside job, all of that kind of stuff, it occurred to me in my fear that I had not actually been doing that myself. Talking about it good, but have I really been doing that particular work? And I had to get honest with myself and say, you know, not really. Being at that point, which I found to be a very low point in recovery, forced me to go inside I had nowhere else to go. There was, you know, the mirrors are all shattered. There's no other way to ignore or avoid or put off or stall the inside work. Because I was no longer a CEO, I was no longer a restaurant owner, I was no longer a big landholder. Who the hell am I? You know what I mean? I didn't know who I was all of a sudden. I had probably never known, but I wasn't aware of it. Now I'm aware of it. Who the hell am I? So I was forced to go inside. I was forced to do that work that I thought I had been doing all along, but not really. Not to the level it needs to be done, that I needed it to be done. So I said, well, all right, I can do this. I've done all this. I can do this. I can do this. I got all the help I need. I can do this. And I finally took real steps to go inside and start mending the pieces that had all been shattered and frayed and torn over the years. That makes this crazy brain the crazy brain that I knew for all my life. Now that journey has been the greatest gift, because that journey has given me the kind of peace and serenity I've sought all my life. Now, I'm not ready to sit on the mountaintop and just go poof into enlightenment. I don't mean to imply that. Although I wouldn't mind that as an option. But I'm not quite there. But very little rattles me. I can get upset, but I don't go crazy most of the time. Once or twice every couple of years, I might go blast off rocket crazy. I did just a few weeks ago, but I... A guy that I sponsored really ticked me off, and I was ready to chop his head off. Until I realized, yet again, it's not about me. You know what I mean? Really nothing happened to me. Why am I so upset? Nothing had happened to me. So calm back down, reined it back in. To be able to do that and have the freedom of that has been most extraordinary, because it makes life on a daily basis a lot more than bearable. It just makes it rather enjoyable for no particular reason. I mean, I've done anything that day except, you know, lounge around the house, and it was a great day. I'm not screaming at store clerks like I used to. I want to, I don't do it. I'm still working on this one. I can be a little bossy. That's not true. I can be a whole lot bossy. In some ways that are very obvious, in some ways that are very subtle. Because I've been like that since yay big. Manipulating what I want to get what I want. Manipulating you to get what I want from me has been in me since like little times. So it's not an easy defect to just turn over. I work on it, I want it to be gone, and then I notice that it's kind of not. And all of my friends and even the people I've sponsored suffer with it because I'm relentless. Relentless. And I often still want my way. And I will spend as much time as needed to convince you that my way is the right way, so this is why we should do it my way. Are you with me yet? Oh. Well, let me try this approach. Are you with me now? Well, no. Oh, God damn it. Okay. Let me try this. So I don't give up. Until they hit me. They don't really hit me, but they'll say something that will snap me into place, and I go, oh, yeah, you're right. Never mind. I also can be rather like an emperor or a king. And I can look at people as, you're simply my subject, so obey. What the fuck? You know what I mean? Just obey and life will be good for all of us. There'll be harmony in the village. I'm not as bad at it as I once was, but I've been known to be a little crazy. I mean, we'll go somewhere and we might both have bags and you need to carry mine. Because I'm not carrying my bag. I'll hand it to you. You know what I mean? We're talking at a crazy level, crazy man level, crazy man level. I'm not as bad with that, but I do keep a few folks on the side who I know will put up with it and do it. Due to their own craziness. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not going to interfere with their higher power. If their higher power wants to let them do for me, then far be it. Knock yourself out. But I don't do it to all my friends and all the people that I deal with on a daily basis, but it still exists a little bit. People who know me in the audience are laughing because they've seen it play out. So, and the other gifts, back to relationships with families. I don't really like my family. I never did. And I know you're supposed to love them, but I just really don't. Or maybe I love them, but I don't really like them. You know what I mean? I don't like them as people. These are people I'd never deal with if I weren't related to them. Do you know what I mean? I just wouldn't. So I've mended a lot of fences in the family. But I'm not all lovey, huggy, let's be close and hang out. No, if I see you two or three times a year, I'm good. And we can keep those two or three times a year very short. Because I don't like you. I'm sorry, but I just don't. In fact, my dad died. Last year, was that last year? It's been a year my dad died. My sisters are crying and carrying on. Meanwhile, I'm thrilled. It's like, oh, ding dong, the witch is dead. Thank God. Get this bastard in the ground quick. Even though I've done years of step work on this particular issue, learning to see his side of the story, learning to understand how he came to be the human being he became, trying to engender or generate some kind of empathy for the man rather than just, you know, I'd rather just blow your head off. It'd be a lot easier all around for everybody. So, it was a little difficult at the funeral when everybody else is, you know, in weeping and anguish and I'm just like feeling fine. But I can't really share it. You know, I mean, this is the first time I've gotten to share that publicly. Because I couldn't be, you know, singing and tap dancing at the funeral. But I wanted to. I wanted to. So the relationships with families are mended to the full extent that I want them amended. There isn't great hatred. There isn't great sense of loss. All of that's been mended. So we're good. Friendships, I did a lot of cleanup on friendships. One, because I needed to, and two, why wouldn't you? Friendships are valuable, they're important. So I did my bit, and I became less demanding of a friend. I would always think, oh, I cherish friendships, but really what I cherish is, you know, having servants around. Because that's how I treated friends quite often. We're like servants. Do for me, buy for me, lift me, carry me, that kind of stuff. Just so I stopped all that. 95%. 90%. 85. 85. We'll stick with 85%. But then the real gift came, as I told you, when the bottom fell out in recovery. Now I'm 15, 16, 17 years clean at the time, maybe 18 years. I'm not sure. Doesn't really matter. But it was a huge wake-up call. And the wake-up call was, you got to go inside deep, 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 deep. It can't just be lip service. It has to be quite real. Meditations have to be real meditations. You know, get there. Get to the point where all the voices are quiet. Get to the point where all the cares are not really weighing on you at that moment. And learn to rely on a daily basis higher power. Not just praying when, you know, some shit's about to go down and you need your butt saved. Not just praying because you want something. I really want this. No. That puts me in harmony with myself and the universe wherever I am, in whatever situation I'm in. I don't get nervous standing up in front of you this morning. I can go to the gas station. Not a problem. I can deal with people at work even-handedly, although I don't work anymore, and I do like that part. I'm not a big fan of getting old, although I've gotten old. 38 when I got clean, I'm 30 years clean, I'm 68 years old, damn near 70. I don't like that part. But I do like not having to work anymore. Good jobs, bad jobs, whatever. I was never a big fan of work, but I put in my time. But I'm glad I don't have to do it anymore. But mostly it's the harmony that I feel just inside. I used to be, from a very early age, the little boy walking around with a cloud over his head. To me, it was always raining, it was always stormy, it was always dark, it was always cloudy. I didn't like life even as a kid. I actually hated it. Didn't want to be human. That was my big thing. I just, you know, this human business is really highly overrated. So I tried not to be for many years. But now I'm not afraid just to be here on the planet with you. I'm actually kind of liking it most days. I can get along at a restaurant, I can get along in a clothing store, I can get along at the shoe store, I can get along. I don't walk around and, you know, there's smoke after I've finished walking in the place because I just blew it up. None of that happens anymore. As a result of taking the inside route, getting to the real gift. There are many gifts, but there's really one great gift, and that is a true relationship with a higher power, a very profound relationship with a higher power. It's the one that fills the hole, takes away the clouds, and makes it sunshiny every day. I don't often use those words. But I do know that I don't wake up miserable anymore. And even in recovery, for years I woke up, this is strong, but I did wake up miserable. Or I woke up lacking. You know what I mean? I never had to buy the big house in Frederick if I didn't. I mean, let's just get honest. Or toss all that aside and buy a restaurant, because that's cool. Now I'm somebody. Yeah, now you're a fool. But we're not looking at that part. But to just wake up and not regret waking up. And I did that for many years, the regret waking up. I would go to bed at night, even in recovery, I would go to bed at night and say, dear higher power, please help me not wake up. Now, I'm not going to go out and kill myself. Don't have the guts for that. I never could figure out how to do it so it's not messy. Or mess up my house in the process, because, you know, I'm fanatic about that. So that kept me from suicide. But I would pray, just don't let me wake up. Nothing really terrible going on. Just, I'm done. I'm all right. Just don't let me wake up anymore. And I don't do that anymore. I haven't done that since I really started digging deep, and not being afraid to dig deep. There's some boogeyman hidden under there digging deep, but mostly there's not. Mostly there's little angels digging deep. Very few boogeymen, just a couple of them. And I know them from forever. It's not like they're new. You know what I mean? All the boogeymen that kind of reach up out of the ground and say, hey, gotcha, It's like, you again? Really? Get the hell, still wearing the same shirt? Like, get out of here. So they're not as scary as they used to be because I've known them so long, and it's just that particular boogeyman will go away. But I don't wake up with that. I wake up with, oh, okay, let's see what we can do today. Even if we do nothing, which I like doing nothing, even if we do nothing, it's all kind of pleasant. Rather than rainy days here again. I like waking up pleasant. I like waking up and not being pissed off I didn't die during my sleep. Because every night I'd pray for it, just let me not wake up, and then I'd wake up and then I'd be mad because, damn it, I woke up again. What the hell? I don't do that. As a direct result of one promise, freedom from active addiction. Thanks for letting me share.